Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Touchdown! Touchdown, Washington! What a play call!
You're listening to the best of the Commanders.
And it is good! Washington wins!
A weekly mix of 106.7 The Fan and 980 The Team's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Let's get to the business at hand, all right? I saw something earlier this morning, or maybe even last night, from one of these like straight-up rumor accounts that I decided not to address. But in the last half hour or so, Jordan Schultz is a reporter, for NFL insider. I thought briefly he was with Fox. It appears he's no longer with Fox. Jordan Schultz is, at least on his bio, maybe he is. He's a reporter that was with Bleacher Report, was with Fox, has, contacts for sure. He's got 300,000 Twitter followers. Mm-hmm. Now, he does follow 100,000 people. Sometimes I think the ratios are fairly telling when you look at people that follow a ton of people. But regardless, Jordan Schultz just reported. Sources. Commanders All-Pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal. As I previously reported, McLaurin unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after initially attending, and it remains to be seen whether he'll report for mandatory minicamp. McLaurin is entering the final year of his contract. Talks have been minimal. Brian Mitchell, you played in the NFL 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know Terry McLaurin. You know Adam Peters, the two main people involved here. You know the business of football. What is your reaction to this report?
I think this is a speculation thing, or if anything, maybe an agent said something. I don't think Terry or Adam said anything. And agents' job are to get conversation started. I just don't see this being how Terry is. You know what I mean? He's been here this long, and all he's been was a class guy. When there's issues, he doesn't discuss it. And we've seen Adam and his crew work, and they don't discuss stuff publicly either. So I don't know.
I tend to agree with you. I think in contract stuff, Teams and agents will use the media to advance their agenda. Terry wants a new deal. That's not a secret.
Yeah.
Adam Peters said in Florida, I was in the room when he said it at the owners' meetings, we want to make Terry McLaurin a Commander for a long time. Ownership is willing to spend money. I think, honestly, and I recognize there are people that will read this and get upset or disappointed, whatever. I see this as just the business of football.
Yeah.
Football business.
And the thing of it, let's be real. A deal hadn't been done yet. We all can suspect that's frustration, probably on both sides. You know, one side because I'm not getting what I want, the other side because you're not taking what we're offering. But the ultimate thing is anybody can say, oh, they're having issues right now because nothing has been done yet. But the fact that they probably talked to someone directly, I can tell you one thing. Ain't nobody talked to Terry McLaurin directly.
I can tell you another thing. No chance this is coming from Adam Peters.
Yeah, so I don't buy that.
If you read all of it, sources, Commanders All-Pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal. As I previously reported, McLaurin unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after initially attending, and it remains to be seen whether he'll report for mandatory minicamp. What I can look at that I think can be true, and a lot of this is semantics, like how you word it. Could you see Terry being frustrated that a deal isn't done yet?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yo, let's lock this up. Let's get this done. I want this out of my life.
Because he wants to be there with his crew.
I don't know about the unexpectedly left voluntary workouts.
Nah.
Did he necessarily, like, call DQ and say, hey, man, I'm going to head out of town. I'm not going to stick around for when the media gets here. I don't know that he did that, but I think unexpectedly left implies that he, like, stormed out of the building with a box of his belongings.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think that's the case.
Or he was there going to the field and saying, you know what, man, I'm not going to do this. No, he didn't do all that. But, like, the one thing that I think, and this is one thing I'll tell you here. I don't question when this coaching staff says something, okay? I've watched them enough and I listened to them enough to know that they don't BS you, okay? They don't BS players. So when I hear Dan say, I've talked to the guys and I understand, I think he's talked to Terry, I think he's talked to Lattimore, and I think he's talked to Tunsil. And I think as a coach, he understands the position of probably all of them. Lattimore normally doesn't go. Tunsil normally doesn't go. Terry's in a situation, so he understands that as well. But I don't think either one of those guys are going to come out here and say, talk to him and I'm okay with it, if he doesn't mean it. So when these coaches say stuff, I take exactly what they say. It's not my job. You know, yes, I'm in the media. And I think sometimes us in the media, we think we have the right to just do whatever and say whatever we want, but we want them to give them everything that we need. You know what I'm saying? And I think we can't question everything all the time just because that's what we think we're supposed to do. No, sometimes you got to learn people along the way. And if they are doing what they say, you have to go along with what they say instead of trying to speculate and take it where you want to take it.
Could Terry be frustrated about the deal?
Yes.
Does that mean this thing is at an impasse or a crossroads and it's going to go sideways? I don't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just deal in the facts, like what we know, right? When Terry signed his last extension, do you know when that occurred?
The week before July 4th.
July 6th is when they actually inked it. They probably agreed
to it.
Well,
when they agreed to it and they mentioned that was like the week before, like the 30th or something like that.
If we get to training camp,
that's a problem.
Late July. All right. Let's raise the flags a little. But for me with this right now, this is the business of football.
100,000%.
I want to let people weigh in. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. There is breaking news, a report from Jordan Schultz. Now, I would add, I haven't seen this from Schefter or Garofolo or Rappaport. Like, I haven't seen this from other people. I'm not saying that the report isn't necessarily true, but I think a lot of things can be lost in the sauce, like the wording of things. But there is a report from Jordan Schultz. Sources, Commanders All-Pro wide receiver Terry McLaurin has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal, and it's possible Terry doesn't come to mandatory minicamp next week. I think the time...
We can say everything's possible right now.
Right. What do we always hear? Deadlines drive deals?
I just tell you this, OJ. I have sat there, and I've watched it, and I've had my back and forth with Adam Schefter, because when Mike Shanahan was here, he was too far up Mike's ass, and I didn't like it. So we had our, but I'll tell you one thing. When Adam Schefter, if he had wrote that, I'll take everything word for word because that man does not miss. I don't know Schultz right now. I know he's a new guy who's coming in trying to put stuff out there. And maybe, just maybe, this is one of his ways of doing it. But I am not to the point with him that I will take what he says and just go with it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, even Garofalo, he doesn't miss often either. So if those two guys say something, I could give them the Bible treatment. This guy right here, I'm giving him the Cliff Note treatment.
Elijah's in D.C. Elijah, what do you make of the report? Terry's growing more frustrated, might miss mandatory minicamp.
Well, I think Washington for years has been always having to figure things out. There's always been big buzz in Washington about something. And I think there has to be something going on in Washington. So I think they just try to throw something out there just to try to see, to try to get things moving. Now, we have to decide as a fan base, and obviously the franchise, they have to just say, what is he going to do for us, like, moving forward? Is it last year's performance, and now we want to encapsulate that, and now that's what we need from Terry? So the conversation has to be, what do we need from him moving forward? He's a great receiver. We know he keeps the structure of the offense together. It's difficult to have a receiver to be able to, especially at his spot, and do what he does to keep your structure together. I'll pay for that rather than the guy saying, give me the ball, and run it. He's going to give you an opportunity for other guys to eat. And you're starting to see them being able to say, if he's not going to give us more physically, if this isn't a physical thing that he's going to give us, then let's give him a 4-3 guy. Let's give him maybe a guy coming out the backfield who's able to do this. Let's give him these options to see how much more we get from Terry. Because say, for instance, we win the Super Bowl, for example. Just throwing it out there, a guy like Terry, a guy like Payne. Think about some of these guys who teams are still hungry. Like, you think about the teams who are still trying to get there. Like, these guys, man, we can have them on our team. So I think everybody just sit still. Let the thing work. If things may happen next year, you'd be like, oh, snap, now we're in a situation we have. If we won the bowl, for example, which may be a stretch, but if we win it, now you got guys on your team that actually look better to other teams. And how many times have we been in situations like that? We like, oh, man, we're going to get this guy on our team because he may get us to the next year. You see what they're doing, man. They're
Eli,
building,
I'm late,
they
man. I got to run here. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you, bro.
It out.
Thank you,
man.
All right.
I love y'all, man. Peace.
Jugs coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, Team 980, 910 The Fan. If you're listening in Richmond, Virginia, and Monumental Sports Network, we're brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next 5-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. Boog Shambi will join us coming up at 8:25. We'll talk Nats and MLB with him. So looking forward to talking to him. He's always a great guest. But it's time now for you guys to put on your hypothetical NFL/Commanders GM hats. We're going to go through a proposed trade and see if you guys are yay or nay on this for the Commanders.
A hypothetical.
It's a hypothetical, yeah.
Proposed trade.
Player involved for the last 3 months that we've been discussing.
It very well could be.
Who apparently is dug in. That's the quote.
He's not happy with the Cincinnati Bengals, and that is Trey Hendrickson, the stud pass rusher who had 17.5 sacks last season. He's a stud. You'd love to have him on your team, and he's currently disgruntled with his situation in Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
So Seth Walder, who does analytics for ESPN, proposed a hypothetical trade where they would acquire, the Commanders would acquire Trey Hendrickson from the Bengals. The Bengals would get second-year Commander Johnny Newton, defensive tackle.
Ooh.
They would get a 2026 third-rounder.
All right.
And a 2027 seventh-round pick. Okay, a couple years off.
All right, I mean, obviously, pick. I would do that. I hate to lose.
And the Commanders wouldn't, get Trey Hendrickson.
The way I look at it, you're essentially trading Johnny Newton for Hendrickson.
Right.
I mean,
right.
A third-round pick, that could be a significant, but it's still a third-rounder.
Yeah, seventh-rounder,
I mean, it's Joe. You're essentially, it's player for player.
I mean, I think you would do it like...
Yeah, I got to do it. When you said third and seventh, and listen, I don't want to lose Johnny Newton.
I don't either. And it leaves you pretty thin at defensive tackle with the departure of Jonathan Allen. Now, you signed Kinlaw, but...
They can find other guys.
It's a pretty high draft pick that you're just getting rid of after one season.
And they're high on him.
Apparently so.
Yeah, they're very high on him.
You know, you're bringing in a better player. You're bringing in a stud that can help you right away.
A guy at a more impactful position, for the most part, than defensive tackle. Like a high, like a premier defensive end.
Explain why they say this actually makes sense, though. They say... why this deal makes sense for both sides. Washington is in a win now mode, which is wild when you've got such a new regime, but you are in a win now mode with Jaden, right? But Dorrance Armstrong is their best rusher. Adding Hendrickson, who recorded the second best pass rush win rate at edge last season, would be a huge boost. Losing Newton would make an old defense older, but the Commanders have strong veteran options in Daron Payne, Kinlaw, Dietrich Wise Jr. By including Newton in the deal, the Commanders could put together a feasible package without a second-round pick. I just don't think that's enough compensation for Cincinnati.
I just saw a different trade proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was also on ESPN, Ben Solak. And I guess there were proposals for several teams, and they were kind of playing a game like, hey, here are our proposals. You be the GM of the Lions. And the Bengals reporter from ESPN chose the Lions deal, which was a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick.
Right. I just don't think that's enough. I mean, God bless whoever wrote that. I just don't think Johnny Newton, a third and a seventh, is going to get you Trey Hendrickson. I just don't think it's enough.
I don't think so.
I don't think that would get it either. I think that the...
Unless they get desperate, like if... You know, in mid-August, and you're a couple preseason games deep, and it seems like he's absolutely dug in and he's not going to show up, then they might just buckle.
It would seem to
me. But I don't know if it's going to happen now.
Would the Bengals be more interested in getting a player for him, or would they be more interested in getting those picks? Because if Detroit was going to offer the higher picks, I think they'd probably go with that over... I mean, a player might want both. Lower picks.
Like Johnny Newton, he's probably making a relatively modest salary for the next 3 or 4 years. Yeah. His rookie deal is not onerous.
No, I get it. But if you can get a second and a third pick for Hendrickson over a player and a third and a seventh, I would think that they would do that.
Imagine a healthy Hutchinson and Hendrickson together.
Oh, yeah.
That would be
a nasty defensive line.
Nasty. Nasty.
Yeah.
I think the Commanders will monitor it, but I don't know that they're desperate to do it. You know, there was an article yesterday, I can't remember if it was in the Washington Post, about the Commanders liking all their big boys now, that they've beefed up their defensive line with Kinlaw. And it seems like, to me, from the outside, it seems like it's a response to the Eagles' huge offensive line. Like they're like, how do we beat this team? And that's a good strategy. That has this massive offensive line that has Saquon Barkley. We can't figure out how to stop him, so let's get some big boys. And Kinlaw's going to be part of it because they say, at least they speculate, that he's going to play that elephant end position.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a big, massive dude out there as defensive end, you know, you may not have Saquon Barkley in the playoffs ripping off his first carry for 70 yards or whatever it was.
He would hopefully be more effective, yeah. There's only so much you can do.
Mm-hmm. So they might be resolute in, hey, we don't need to go out and get the edge rusher. I'm sure they'd love it, but they're not desperate to do it. Because it's not like they finished dead last in sacks last year.
I know.
Quinn figured out a way to maybe resuscitate Dante Fowler Jr. or get the best out of him, to get 8 sacks from Luvu. I mean, they weren't the best.
He wants to be top 10 or better.
It wasn't as bad.
Weren't they top 10 last year?
I think they were like 12th or something, didn't you say?
They were right on the edge of top 10.
It's kind of shocking.
They still want to get better, no doubt.
Yeah, they do, but it's kind of shocking because you just feel like we didn't get enough pass rush.
Right.
But when you actually look at the numbers,
there wasn't a lot of star power. It was just kind of piecemeal.
But that's okay. And I think that's why they didn't necessarily panic and go that route in the draft.
But, like, if you got Hendrickson, I mean, listen to his numbers since he joined the Bengals in 21. He has 57 sacks. That's third in the league. 299 pressures, fifth. 17.4% pressure rate, second. 92.2 pass rush grade, according to PFF, fifth.
But here's the other part of it.
You're getting a superstar.
You are getting a superstar, but Myles Garrett just got a $40 million a year deal.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay that.
That's Josh Harris's problem. I couldn't care less.
And I always advocate for... You know, you can outrun the cap. You got to do some shenanigans with the pencil.
Yeah.
But you would have to do some shenanigans.
Look, if you want to acquire top level production,
it's hard to outrun it when you're paying a guy $40 million a year.
Right.
And you just have to do some crazy, you know, accounting.
Also, it's great to shoot for sacks. It's great. But the best defense in the league last year was the Philadelphia Eagles. The Philadelphia Eagles, their leading sack guy, had 8. Josh Sweat. Nolan Smith was their second leading sack guy. It was 6.5. And they had the best defense in the league. The Commanders' problem was they couldn't stop the run. It wasn't that they couldn't get after the quarterback. Now, maybe the numbers are skewed because every team would game plan against Washington. And they're like, well, we could pass against them, but we don't need to. Let's just run the football. Because the defensive stats were skewed that it looks like they have this great pass defense. And usually when you have great pass defense, you have a good pass rush, you have a good secondary. And we know Washington doesn't necessarily have that. But I don't think their problem is they're a Trey Hendrickson away from being a really good defense. Trey Hendrickson was part of the Bengals defense. They stunk.
Yeah, but we have some better pieces maybe around them. And I do think that one way you can improve your pass rush is by getting better secondary help. I think they're going to be better in the secondary.
I don't think there's any question about it. They upgraded the talent.
Yeah. All right, let's bring up some of these calls.
800-636-1067. Which side do you come down on in this hypothetical trade proposed by Seth Walder from ESPN yesterday?
You know, we wait so long to enjoy summer and get out and be outside and the kids go to the pool and all that stuff. But you got to remember, man, once it gets to like mid-June, like in about 3 weeks, Jason's going to declare summer over, right?
Fourth of July. Right after July 4th.
And next thing you know, these guys are going to be in freaking training camp. It happens.
End of July.
Fast.
Yep.
It happens super fast. All right, let's go to Chris in Culpeper. Chris, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, so
I don't like the trade proposal at all, right? So you got to keep Johnny Newton on that rookie deal. You'll be able to do some things on the inside with him with De'Ron Payne, you know, some stunts inside and everything. He's cheap. So my counter offer to that would be give him a 5th and a 7th over the next couple of years and give him Brian Robinson. You know, he got a 700 or 800 yards. I mean, Jaden Daniels is going to do that himself, you know. So,
well, who's going to carry who's going to get the bulk of the carries?
First of all, Brian Robinson has no trade value. I don't know what team is going to look at that proposal and say, yeah, we got to have B-Rob.
You're not going to trade Brian Robinson for Trey Hendrickson. Like, literally,
I'm trying to get Trey Hendrickson for the cheapest I can.
Yeah,
no, that's not going to happen, buddy.
They're going to laugh at you.
Come on, guy.
They're going to laugh at you. I love you, but they're going to laugh at you. All right. Thank you, pal.
Well, I'm not giving up Johnny Newton.
You don't want to give up Johnny Newton. That's where you draw the line.
He's willing to give up B-Rob.
I think Johnny Newton's pretty good, but I think I would sacrifice his future.
I mean, the Bengals have Chase Brown last time I checked, and they just drafted Taj Brooks. Like, so I think they're okay at running back.
Yeah, they're not going to trade stud defensive end for Brian Robinson. Yeah.
If they did, they'd be spectacularly stupid.
And he wanted to toss in a 5th rounder and a 7th rounder.
5th and a 7th. I mean, guys.
Do you understand how quickly any team would look at that offer and crumple it up and throw it in the trash?
Right.
It's take 2 seconds.
It's like throwing in a few like sugar packets for your coffee.
Don't waste your oxygen.
Nobody needs that. All right, let's go to Ron in Richmond. Ron, what's up?
Hey, guys, I wouldn't do that. I mean, we talked about, I think, a couple weeks ago about mortgage in the future, and that's what you're doing when you do that because you're getting older. And a more comparable trade to me would be Deron Payne because he's a little older.
Of course.
And you know,
I'd love to do that for Payne. I would do that for Payne in 2 seconds.
I mean, Payne and then the other draft picks. I mean, but here's my other point. Washington, I love them to death, but they're not that close to be giving up stuff like that for one guy. I mean, I need a little more history.
Yeah.
I need a little more history and a little more winning before I start doing that. And the other thing I wanted to mention, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but is Amos not wearing Lattimore's number?
I haven't figured out what number he's wearing. I don't know that.
Amos is wearing 23.
Well, until Lattimore shows up, he's probably free to wear whatever jersey he wants.
No, check that.
Let me check that.
Check that. Go ahead.
Yeah, check that. Because I'm
Lattimore's going to wear number 2.
Yeah, there you go.
With the Commanders.
Oh, okay. Okay. I was hoping that was a sign that they were going to get rid of him.
Nah, you don't want to get rid of him just yet.
I'm okay with it.
I know you are, but give him another year.
That's a whole lot of money to be invested if he goes back to the kind of player he was. Because he sure wasn't a player last year.
I'm not exactly sure why he's changing, but he's going back to his college number, the number he wore at Ohio State, number 2.
So Amos will wear 23. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and his butt need to be into minicamp.
Well, he'll be there for mandatory.
Yeah, he'll be there for the mandatory. So
next week.
Thank you, buddy. All right, let's go to Dennis in Reston. Dennis, what's up, man? You're on with the Junks.
Good morning, guys. You know, I'm really getting kind of tired of hearing about the Hendrickson. It's been going on forever and a day now. I think it's an okay trade as long as they got somebody that can do, you know, a pretty good job that where Newton would be. It would be really nice to have Hendrickson, but as I said, they've been talking about it forever. It's just a joke what's going on out in Cincinnati with this guy. But I'm going to go back to something that we haven't talked about yet this morning, and really what's really concerning me, that started to kind of tweak me even more than what I said last week. We need to get Terry signed. What's going on with these guys? Why are they slacking?
Don't worry. Why are you panicking, Dennis? It will happen. It's going to happen in its own due time.
Why are they playing games, though?
They're not playing games. It's just standard negotiating.
Okay.
Standard negotiating.
Well, I hope you guys are right. I'm sure you are. I'm sure you are.
We're always right, Dennis. Yeah. You know this. Come on.
Standard negotiating.
That's why I like you. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, buddy.
Dennis.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
301-230-0980 is the number right here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. We will take you up to 1 o'clock before we hand things over to Chris Russell. Took plenty of calls on Terry McLaurin and whether or not he's an elite wide receiver or not. Man, I didn't realize. I think Terry McLaurin, I'll be honest. I think Terry McLaurin and Brian Robinson are probably two of the most polarizing Commanders this offseason in terms of what moves the needle, so to speak, in terms of what piques people's interest. What do people want to talk about? We went from Terry McLaurin. Well, now talk about the latter, Brian Robinson. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN has linked former Browns running back Nick Chubb to the Washington Commanders. And I am not sure what everyone, or why everyone, I guess, wants to add another running back to this Commanders running back room. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and here's why. First and foremost, your running back room last year played their ass off. The combination of Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, that running back room that Washington has is fine. It's good enough. You have to think about why the run game last year for Washington kind of tailed off down the stretch. The traditional running game, why it tailed off down the stretch. This offensive line, and I think this is the bigger conversation that we're kind of fearful of having. This offensive line, that interior three in particular, Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biadasz, and Sam Cosmi, got their ass kicked down the stretch. Honestly. And it's frustrating because I know they're good players. Cosmi was playing hurt. But I think whenever we talk about the run game and the traditional running game falling off, everyone points at Brian Robinson and we talk about lack of vision and lack of burst, lack of explosive playmaking ability. That to me is not the issue with the Commanders' run game. It was not the issue with the Commanders' run game down the stretch. Can Brian Robinson be better in terms of being more decisive and showing more patience? I think it's what he really needs to do in terms of hitting a hole. Yes, 110% he could be more patient. But it's hard when you're getting met behind the line of scrimmage by a penetrating defensive lineman. Like, that is an issue for any running back in this league. And it was an issue for Brian Robinson last year. Brian Robinson last year as well. And I keep pointing to the interior three of Nick Allegretti, Tyler Biadasz, and Sam Cosmi. I'll give you a take. You all want a take? Maybe you could tell Lou DiPietro. Maybe we can get Lou to clip this off because I feel this, and I don't know if anyone else feels this way. I don't know if Nick Allegretti earns the starting job next year at guard. My interior three offensive linemen, the battery of my offensive line, my guard, center guard combo entering week number one is probably going to be Nate Herbig, Tyler Biadasz, and Brandon Coleman. Like, that's probably going to be my interior three. I think Nick Allegretti, look at the contract he signed. He is a swing guard in this league. And last year, I think he struggled at times and hurt this offensive line. I think he was pretty good and pass pro at times, but the run blocking he struggled with. They were all wildly inconsistent at points last year. I think Jayden Daniels made that offensive line look a lot better than they actually were. And I can stand concretely in saying that. But my guard-center-guard combo next year in week one is probably going to be Nate Herbig, Tyler Biadasz, and Brandon Coleman. And I would think my tackles are going to be Tunsil and Connerly. If that group can perform better, talking about the interior three, then the run game will be more consistent. And I think, like I said, they played well at times. The issue with that group was consistency. I don't think the running back room and the personnel they have at that position is underwhelming. I think it's a good group. I think the sum of their parts together, they're a good group. They complement each other, in my opinion, perfectly. Now, I know Ja'Cory Kroski-Moret is the guy that a lot of you all have been intrigued by, and I am totally ready for Ja'Cory Kroski-Moret. I can't wait to get up close in person and actually see what he looks like. Because you all have already kind of, you know, started fitting him for his jacket and putting him in Canton. Seventh round running back. Can he pass protect? First and foremost is my number one thing. Can he pass protect? Can he hold on to the football and not fumble? And then is he explosive? That's the last thing I think we're waiting on when it comes to, you know, this Ja'Cory Kroski-Moret. Those are the questions I have with him, though. Can he pass protect? Can he protect the football and not put it on the carpet? And then is he explosive? Is he dynamic? That's still yet to be seen for me. I've seen what people have said on tape. I've watched the tape. It's different, though, when you're up close in person watching a guy. So I'm eager to see him tomorrow as well. But I think the idea of bringing in a veteran like Nick Chubb or somebody else out there, J.K. Dobbins is the other guy I've seen linked. I just don't know how much they upgrade your room. If you all are complaining about Brian Robinson and his lack of explosion, why the hell do you want Nick Chubb? Is Nick Chubb explosive? Three ACL tears in? Probably not. 301-230-0980 is the number. Do you want Nick Chubb? I don't. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. I'm not sure. I'm not sure why everyone wants to add another running back to the running back room. We've had this conversation before on this very program. I just currently feel like the running back room is fine. If an injury happens, okay. Right? If you come to training camp and someone, you know, gets an ankle and you need to bring in a veteran body, then okay. But even if someone does get hurt, I don't think you're bringing in a marquee name like Nick Chubb. I think we get enamored by names here and say, oh, I want that guy. Same thing with Jalen Ramsey. Like, I'm not sure I want Jalen Ramsey here. Why would I want Jalen Ramsey here? You know what I'm saying? 301-230-0980, and here we go. AJ has an affinity for any back not named Brian Robinson. Nick Chubb, you could say he has better vision. Okay. The job of a running back behind this offensive line last year, I think, was extremely difficult because guys are consistently getting pushed into you. They got no push up front on the interior of their offensive line last year. How many times did Brian Robinson have to evade a defender 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage? That's my question mark with this run game. It's not really about the backs. I think the offensive line needs to be better. And it's ironic because, like, some of their best performances of the season came in their most difficult matchups, talking about this Washington Commanders run game. Think about week two last year against the New York Giants going up against Dexter Lawrence in the middle of that defense, and it was almost like he wasn't there, right? Brian Robinson runs for over 100 yards. Think about the way you looked against Devondre Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons out in Tennessee. You ran the ball on them very well. So it was tough, man. Dallas, they struggled to run the ball against because Osei Digizuwa is a penetrating defensive tackle that gets upfield. They struggled to run the football against New Orleans because they got Brian Brisee, a penetrating defensive tackle that gets upfield. They struggled to run the football against Cleveland because of who they have on the interior of their defensive line. They couldn't run the ball against Cincinnati's backups the backups of Cincinnati, because there was no B.J. Hill in that game or D.J. Reader. The backups stopped this offense from running the football. Tampa Bay, you couldn't run the football against them. That's one of my – the Eagles, can't run the football against them. Like, that's my issue with this offense, with this football team. I need the run game to get better. And it's not just about the backs. It's about the offensive line as well.
It's time to talk Trey Hendrickson, Danny. The Commanders need to get back on the horn. Tell me why I'm wrong here. He is still angry. He still doesn't want to be a Cincinnati Bengal. He is saying things like, I won't play for you. Still, this moment, right now, as they're on the practice field this week for OTAs, he is saying he will sit out for as long as he can into the season and then probably come back and report so that he can still accrue the year. He's threatened to sit out the entire year. He wants nothing to do with playing for the Bengals. It's gotten personal. He has name-checked the head coach, saying that he was lied to by members of the staff. He hates the Bengals organization. Now, it might be that you could say, well, money's going to heal this. See Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett put out the big statement, I want to be traded. I don't want to be here anymore. But that was never personal. I don't think he disliked members of the staff or even the front office. He was not at odds with the Browns as much as he wanted to be paid. They hadn't paid him yet. He put out a statement. I thought that was leverage. And as soon as they were willing to pay him, funny, he no longer is prioritizing winning a Super Bowl.
My mind got changed.
This feels different than that.
Mm-hmm.
This feels like a guy in an organization that screws up player negotiations all the time, screws up relationships with players all the time. Constantly we have guys, whether it was Jamar Chase last year or T. Higgins, and understandably those guys have been paid, but because of that, it's less likely that Hendrickson on the other side of the ball will, because Joe Burrow makes a lot of money. I think this is a lame duck season. I think he's going into a year where he knows it and they know it. They're not going to get a deal done. It's over at the end of this year, and he doesn't want to do that. So there's an actual possibility where you could trade for him, and Washington should be the team that is making the most phone calls, showing the most desperation right now.
So remember, you're dealing with an irrational actor in Cincinnati. So, but that shouldn't change Washington's end of it. And here's what I mean. They're not going to do the predictable thing, like conventional wisdom back in the day when you were, for example, here in Washington, when Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder were in charge and you had a fight with Trent Williams, whether you thought you were right or not, you should probably fix it with Trent Williams. You know what I mean? Like, what's the upside? What's the incentive of getting into a contest with him and then trading him away for next to nothing and have him be an all-pro somewhere else? There was no upside there. Cincinnati operates in a similar way, less malicious up at the top, but it's more buffoonery. It's more, they're not going to do the right thing. It's more, this is how we run things, while the player is out there going, I hate your guts. I don't want to be here. You guys have screwed this up. Get rid, like, let me move on. They may not do the right thing here. They may just refuse. They may just play hardball. Who knows? That shouldn't change Washington's end of it, though, or any team, frankly. Detroit should be calling. Philly should be calling. Anybody that's got a need that this dude could fill, that's got a Super Bowl window, 100% they should be in bothering Cincinnati about Trey Hendrickson.
17.5 sacks last season led the NFL. The year before that, 17.5 sacks again.
Is there consistency there at all?
He has had 13.5 or more in 4 of 5 years. That is high-end Ryan Kerrigan production. Like, Kerrigan's best year ever is the floor for what Trey Hendrickson has done in 4 of the last 5 years. And I bring up Kerrigan not only because it's a fun little comp. I mean, they're similar type players.
We're the same jersey number.
Wearing one, number 91. High motor guys, I would say, coming off the edge.
Just gym rats.
Toby. Right, exactly. But no, I mean, you have not had a pass rusher better than Kerrigan over the last 10 or 12 years, 15 years, whatever it is. Hasn't happened. He's the best you've had. His ceiling in terms of sack totals, pressures, hits on the quarterback is Trey Hendrickson's floor. Kerrigan was really good. Kerrigan was never elite. Kerrigan was never a DPOY. Like, he had a 24 hit on the quarterback season one time, and otherwise never had 20 hits on the quarterback. And I'm not trying to knock Ryan Kerrigan, but 24 has been the floor of hits on the quarterback for Trey Hendrickson over the last 5 seasons in a row. This guy would be your best pass rusher in decades. It is very, very rare that you can get an elite football player. I'm not talking about a good one. like Terry McLaurin. We've had some of those guys coming through D.C. I want Terry to catch shrapnel here. He's a really good player. I'm talking about an all-pro last year. I'm talking about a runner-up for player of the year on the defensive side, the equivalent of MVP. You got one on offense in Jaden Daniels now, it looks like. Go get one on defense. Having good players is a great thing. You've got some in Frankie Louvu in your linebacking core, Bobby Wagner in your linebacking core. When it's 72 and sunny, Deron Payne, but an 11.5 sack season as a D-tackle. Hasn't done anything near that in the 2 years since. If it works out with Marshawn Lattimore and Adam Peters is right, he's a really good player. You got a bunch of those guys. Hopefully, Sandra Still is going to become that type of player. It looks like he's on that trajectory. There's no DPOY type on this team defensively. There isn't. There hasn't been in years. They haven't had a player, forget defensive player of the year, be an all-pro defensively since Daryl Green in the early 90s when your boy was, chasing my dad around the kitchen and asking him to put on Power Rangers. Go get one. He's right there for the taking. He doesn't want to be in Cincinnati. They're willing to deal him. It's going to happen inevitably. Be the team harassing them on the phone. Every single time, whichever member of the Brown family is looking at their phone, because they're all everyone's last name is the same. It's a big family operation, and it's embarrassing, and they do a terrible job, and they have for a long time. I guess that's the Bengals, right? That's Trey Hendrickson.
That's him, yeah, yeah.
That's who's paying
That's who we're
him.
Dealing with here.
It's the Browns. Those people, every time they answer their phones, Danny, I need them to go, oh, my God.
Another notification.
Adam Peters again. Are you kidding me?
This one's from Lance Newmark.
They need to be tired of seeing 703 on their cell phone. I want Adam Peters' name on the cell phone of Katie, whatever the daughter's name is.
Yeah, what's her name? Katie, is it not Katie Brown?
I've seen her on Hard Knocks a bunch, like three different seasons. I need her to have Don't Answer as Adam Peters' name in her cell phone because she's so annoyed by him. Make it happen.
So I'm going to do my best to come up with arguments against, okay?
Because before you do that, are you suggesting you agree with me?
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, there is a walkaway point. There's a point because Cincinnati might, again, they're irrational. They might ask for too much. They might be ridiculous.
Yeah, you can't give them two ones or one
something
two,
crazy,
or,
right?
Yeah.
And there may be a contract demand that's too much. So the arguments against are this is a 30-year-old player who's, you know, entering, you would think, the downslide of his career. Argument two is at some point you have to stop mortgaging the future. Now, I don't think you're at that point yet, but just bear with me. At some point, you've got to stop getting rid of future picks. You owe Houston for next year. You've paid it down. Second round pick and a fourth round pick in the 2026 draft for your new left tackle. I make that trade every time, by the way, please and thank you. But at some point, you've got to have more of your own homegrown. You're going to need all of the cap money to pay Jaden Daniels, and you need to start building the way Philadelphia, Kansas City, these elite programs do, where you have your own talent that's coming up through the ranks to take the place. The guy turns from an okay player to a good player to a stalwart for you, maybe even a star. So right now you don't have much in that regard. Your second round pick from last year, Ben Sinnott, is now behind on the depth chart to a guy that was almost out of football in Zach Ertz a couple of seasons ago. So at some point you need to have reinforcements happen. You've got to keep investing and find your own draft picks for cost-effective talent buttress to make this thing work for more than just one flare-up. So at some point, you have to do that. So here's my counter to those counters. I don't think you're there yet. There's going to be a year, probably 2 years from now.
Are you arguing with yourself right now?
Yeah, I'm basically saying, I'm talking about the counter arguments. There's going to be a time, eventually, where you go, you know what? We can no longer trade away draft picks. We have to start harvesting them. We have to start getting rid of some guys, making tough decisions too early, and adding picks because we have to supplement because our quarterback makes $80 million a year.
So twofold.
You're not there now.
Twofold on that, other than that you're not there now, which I agree with. Number one, I would just say that you got to take advantage of the Jaden Daniels not making money window that is right here and right now. This is the time you're able to pay guys like Hendrickson $35 million a year. Because when he makes the money, it gets really hard. Kiss a $35 million edge rusher goodbye at that point in time. That's number one. And number two, I want to go back to your first point. He's 30 years old thing. Yes, he is. So is T.J. Watt. Do you think T.J. Watt's about to slow down all of a sudden? I don't. I mean, look at pass rushers. Pass rushers don't age badly. That is a position where you produce deep into your 30s. You know how many 10-plus sack? I'm just using 10 because it's the round number, double digits, whatever. Respectable. But there are many seasons a lot better than 10. But do you know how many 10-sack seasons Bruce Smith had after he turned 30 years old?
I don't.
Six. Mm. Actually, in his case, it was seven. You know how many Reggie White had after he turned 30 years old? Six. You go, oh, those guys are old, different era. Okay, fine. How many 10-sack seasons did Julius Peppers have after he turned 30 years old? Five. He had 11, 11 and a half, 10 and a half. He had an 11-sack season at 37 years old, just like Reggie White, just like Bruce Smith. This is not a position where all of a sudden at 34 you can't do it anymore, because there's some smarts to it. There's some acumen to it. You're setting guys up play by play. Do you lose a little twitch, a little wiggle, a little juice, maybe some speed, some bend? Sure, that's not really his game. He's strength, he's moves, there's some twitch, I'm sure, with him. But it's more Kerrigan than it is Junior Gallet, to use Washington parlance, over the years. So I don't worry about his age as a detriment. There's 4 or 5 years of runway out in front of him where he's still going to be really good. Is he going to have 17 and a half sacks and 27 hits on the quarterback next year? Maybe not. But he's going to have 14. He's going to have the best pressure rate on your defense. You go from a very average defense on paper that has a chance to be not very good to a legitimate defense like that. That's what one superstar does at that position. One elite defensive pass rusher is a ripple effect position. It helps everyone else on the D-line because you're taking attention away from them. It helps every player in your secondary because there's less obligation to cover because I'm getting home quicker. You can make the case other than quarterback. There's not a single position where you affect more things around you.
Welcome back. Chucky's come to you live on 106 7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. Talking about Terry McLaurin, are you worried about these reports saying he's frustrated with the way negotiations are going, or not even going, because they say that the talks have been minimal? That according to Jordan Schultz, mm-hmm. Fox Sports.
Not concerned. Not concerned about it. Typical standard negotiations. Terry,
it's part of the business of being in the NFL.
He will take the pen and put it to paper right before training camp,
or maybe sooner.
Could be sooner.
Yeah, maybe sooner.
I'm just saying. My line in the sand is training camp, end of July.
Mm-hmm. You might be right.
Five or six weeks.
It'll be interesting to see if he's there for mandatory minicamp next.
Yeah, what did he do Tuesday, about mandatory
Tuesday
minicamp
or Wednesday?
Last year? Did like he come to an agreement 12. Before mandatory minicamp?
In 2022?
Yeah.
Not exactly sure. They say he signed in July.
Yeah, so he didn't. Because mandatory minicamp is in June.
So he did miss the mandatory last year.
I don't remember.
Not last year. 2022, whatever, last year.
I don't remember, but I assume.
Yeah.
By the way, we have the NFL Network on, and Andrea Kramer was on, and Jason's like, who is that Andrea Kramer?
I just haven't seen her in a while.
And she married to somebody who's famous, and then Cakes cracked me. That's Leslie Visser, who's right. Married to Dick Stockton.
Right.
So I just happened to look up, because I was like, oh, I thought she was married to somebody famous. Not at all. I could give you probably 100 choices as to figuring out the profession of her husband, and you would nail it.
No, beekeeper.
Funeral home owner.
No.
She's
married to, I mean, she's clearly the cool person at a party. She's on TV, talks football. He's an archaeologist.
Oh, archaeologist? Yes. So he studies like ancient civilizations?
I guess. Now, to some people, that would be the cool person in the party.
No, not to who? Not
I don't
to
know.
Me.
There's some people that are interested
if somebody
in
introduce me to
tombs
somebody says,
and pyramids.
This is Carl Kramer. He's an archaeologist. I would go right to sleep.
Well, he's a teacher, isn't he? Is he a professor?
I don't know.
Is he a professor?
I'm only looking at one census. Kramer's married to University of Massachusetts Boston archaeologist John Steinberg.
Oh, well, it's right there. Probably a UMass. Professor at UMass.
Okay. All right, let's
talk something,
out these calls.
Something more interesting.
No chance he knows who Terry McLaurin is. Zero.
let's go to Robert. Hey, Robert, what's up, man? You're all with the Junkies. How are you, my friend?
Rob.
Hello, Robert.
Is he not there? LDs, he's all punched up? I thought he punched him.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy.
There you go.
Yes, I'm here.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, gentlemen.
Of course.
You guys are great. I want to tell you, man, let's pump the brakes on this one. Okay. You know, we deal with Mr. Peter. We trust him, right?
I do trust him. I would be flabbergasted, stunned. My head would be spinning if they traded him. I don't care what they got in return. I'd be stunned.
Absolutely. Now, we got to remember, he's trying to get a edge rusher in here. Right now, he's trying to.
I don't really think he is, actually.
Yes, he is. And I think also, you know, you got to consider the source of all these rumors. That guy, Schultz, hey, he loves to shake up stuff. You know that. Like JP said, he's been into all kinds of stuff. So let's just give Peter a chance to do his thing. He's not going to mess up his term. Trust me.
Mm-hmm. Can you take us off speaker? It's tilting.
That's fine.
Well, he's done.
He made his point. He's good.
Well, yeah. I do want to ask him one question. Robert.
Sure.
Are you like me, though, that if they trade one of your favorites, it hurts and you a little bit bitter? Might, like, if they trade him, like, let's say they trade him to the Steelers, like, I might even troll and buy a Steelers McLaurin jersey or something. Like, if they did something like that, I would do that just out of...
Has to hurt.
Yeah, it hurts. Or are you like Valdez, who claims... He doesn't care. He's all purple.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. Eddie Murray is my all-time favorite Baltimore Oriole. He left the Orioles. It sucked.
It's terrible. Yeah. Where do you stand on that, Robert?
I'm staying with my team. I love Terry. I love him before, and I love him again after he leaves. But I've been with the Redskins for 1959, gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere, but I might cheat on them for a little bit, though, and then come back.
Right. But I still love Terry, no matter what. I think Terry's going to hang in there with the Peters. They'll get it done. I believe that.
Yeah, I believe it, too. All right. So, thank you, Robert. It just scares me, though. Thank you, buddy. All right. Let's go to Greg. 800-636-1067 if you want to chime in on the McLaurin situation. Greg, what's up, buddy? You're all the Jucks.
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
What's up?
By the way, the 1959 Redskins, woof.
They were nubs.
3-9, head coach Mike Nixon.
What's up, Greg?
Don't get the natives restless.
Yeah.
This is this standard operating procedures.
Right.
And the funniest thing is, since Adam Peters has been here, he said nothing. And we know Terry McLaurin doesn't say anything.
Right.
So it has to be either the agent or the guy Schultz. This maybe a conversation was had and he maybe mentions it. But I think you got a professional organization here and these guys are just doing their thing behind the scenes.
Now, what if, though, Greg? Yeah. What if, though, that Robert was correct and – they actually are. I actually don't think they are like super in the market for an end like that. But what if they were? And it was like they traded him for Trey Henderson. Let's just say it. I mean, forget about the whether it works or not. I'm just throwing out a crazy scenario. Yeah. Okay, just work with me hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Would you? I would be bitter. I don't want to trade him.
Most of the fan base would be bitter.
Right. I guess you can't trade him if he's out under contract. But you know what I mean? Forget about
I think 100%.
He is under contract, though.
Forget about the real... Okay, yeah, right, for one more year. Forget about the realistic possibilities of it. Just the point of it.
Joe Burrow besides.
Well, you know what I mean? Where would you stand on? Would you be pissed? What if they got three number ones, which is probably way worth more than him? I still would be pissed.
Yes, I would be pissed because I'm in my 50s, so I saw the glory years of Commanders, Redskin football.
Right.
However, for the error, some of these errors behind me, Terry McLaurin is equivalent to Daryl Green. Mm-hmm. I think that whole Washington, D.C. area would be pissed.
Yes.
If they That's why I compared him to Cal.
I would cry.
I understand Cal had a greater...
I would cry.
Terry McLaurin is great, but Daryl Green won multiple Super Bowls. Yeah. Like it's
He's not done yet. He's not done.
It's hard to put him on that same level.
No, but I think from a heart and soul perspective, he's right.
Yeah, when people talk about Robert Griffin as the greatest thing they've seen in Washington,
right?
You got to understand how they feel that the younger generation feels about Terry McLaurin.
Right,
that's their equivalent.
Yes,
and not comparing them to Daryl Green, but it's the equivalent of.
I think you bring up a very fair point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys have a great day.
All right, thank buddy. You too, Greg. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Let's go to Kevin in D.C.
Yeah, I think Terry, we all know this, but he's beyond a regular player, like a regular good player.
Yes.
He's somebody that the fans have a connection with.
Yes.
It's more than just a replaceable guy. Like, if they traded him for CeeDee Lamb, CeeDee Lamb might be a better wide receiver.
Yeah, but I would still be upset.
People would be upset.
No. Well, I'm telling you, a grown man would cry.
No.
You might be upset in the short term, but then when CeeDee Lamb comes in and grabs 120 balls and scores 13 touchdowns, you're going to forget about Terry McLaurin pretty quickly.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
I agree with that, but you would be upset.
You would be upset if they traded Terry McLaurin for Justin Jefferson.
I would be upset because I have a loyalty to the person.
So you would not want them to trade for Justin Jefferson because you like Terry so much.
And you can't hit the gritty. So that's
are you claiming that you wouldn't want to take?
I couldn't make that trade because there's a bond. Though it's better for the team, I couldn't pull that trigger if I was.
Remember,
I couldn't do it.
Both Cakes and EB during the heyday of the hibachi wouldn't trade him for Kobe Bryant.
Hey, he'd up that Gilbert hibachi.
Hey, you want to go even further than that? And that's embarrassing. That's, by the way, when he was averaging 30. But
I understand that. But he had never been beyond the second round.
Listen, I'm guilty.
No, but I understand it because you have an affection. You have a connection.
I didn't want to trade or move on from Jason Campbell.
Campbell.
So you have irrational attachments to some players.
That's where I'm coming from.
And you stuck with Wentz a long time.
Yeah. No, I mean,
well, that's Sam Howell.
I care about Wentz.
You turned on Heinicke with the quickness.
I mean, Mike Barr's got a better arm.
Big heel turn.
Can you explain why he's so beloved? Is it just because he had a crappy team around him?
I think he's a character guy.
He's such a high character player.
He's a great person. I will back Cakes. He's not Daryl Green.
I agree.
Not yet.
McLaurin's not going to the Hall of Fame. Daryl Green is in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think you can rule out that.
I wouldn't rule it out.
There's no chance Terry McLaurin's going to the Hall of Fame. He hasn't put up the mark. Are you kidding me?
Somehow I got to get the other side of no chance. I don't know how I can bet that.
Are you kidding me?
I don't think it's...
How is he going to go to the Hall of Fame?
Well, three or four more amazing years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. We've lost contain. We've lost contain.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's in the Hall of Fame. Listen,
he might be in the Redskins Hall of Fame, but he ain't going to the Canton.
Ring of Glory.
What if he has five straight double-digit touchdown seasons? He had his first.
You think he's going to have five consecutive?
I didn't say I think, but you're saying it's a 0%
I would bet
chance.
Money on it. You can bet
it's
money.
All I'm saying is I think the odds are he's not going to go to the Hall of Fame based on his earlier career. However, it's not impossible. I'm on EB's side on this because he could.
I wouldn't.
What
roll
if
it
he
out.
Backs oh up the 13
he's
touchdown season?
In the Hall of Pretty Good.
So he's going to put up 14 touchdowns when he's 34 years old.
He has five straight 13-plus touchdown seasons after the one he just turned in.
Look, if McLaurin had Jaden Daniels thrown to him for the last 5 years, all right, different story. But he didn't. You got to put up numbers. He's not going to go in the Hall of Fame.
All right.
Daryl Green is in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Kevin in D.C., what's up?
Well, Terry has to get paid, but I don't think he's on the level of Jamar Chase and them type of receivers. But if Adam Peters, if he can't, they don't resign Terry, everything he's done this last year, him and Josh Harris will go down the drain.
Right. Would you be devastated if they traded, no matter what they got in return?
Regardless of what they got in return, Terry McLaurin is the commander. Like, if you get rid of him, you get rid of the face of your franchise, even though JD's here.
Jaden Daniels, I think, has surpassed.
Both. Supplanted and surpassed.
He's supplanted him as the face, but he's right there. He's 1B.
See, part of this is the Commanders have been so bad for so long. Terry's like he's the one shining light before Jaden Daniels.
He's
was
an
drafted.
Incredible human
so
being.
So everybody
he
gravitates. Everybody gravitates toward that, which I understand, but it clouds people's judgment when they look at him.
Terry stops at every stop sign.
They're not looking at it through an objective lens.
He opens a door for every person. He's a perfect person. He's perfect.
Except he's unhappy.
I don't believe it.
And money hungry.
I don't believe it. Yeah. I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Because like the caller said, his wife's in his ear saying he has to get that big bag.
Why is he not taking a team discount?
I don't believe it. I think he ultimately will. But just the mere thought of it.
I thought nobody's squeaky clean.
He is.
Okay.
He's the exception.
Who said that? Was that Iverson?
Iverson.
Let's go to Alex. Arlington, real quick. Alex.
Morning, guys. Real quick, I just want to chime in. I really think we can't discount the level of familiarity Jaden has with Terry, right? You let a guy like that go. We got Debo coming in brand new. Even if his production goes down and we overpay him for his service, I'm cool with that. We don't want a sophomore slump from Jaden. We need that security blanket. Keep things rocking and rolling, and let's get Terry back signed up.
He will. I know he will. I'm just saying the mere thought of it is terrifying. I know it's going to get done. But if it didn't, I'd be devastated.
Of course it'd be devastating.
It would be literally like someone kidnapped
Think
my
of
child.
The thrilling win over the Detroit Lions. Jaden just drops back, just throws a foot pass over to, a pass that Mike Maher could make to Terry McLaurin. Got two defenders on him, ducks through him, takes it to the house.
So great.
That's Terry McLaurin.
He's a perfect person.
Well, you're going to have the perfect person in a Commander's uniform.
Yeah, catching balls. About 90 balls.
At least three more years.
I think so.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
That was interesting. So that young guy signed it with Liv. That's the first young guy Liv has signed in a while.
Yep.
So I think some people were wondering about Liv's demise. They got the cash. The event is coming to Virginia in a couple weeks, or this weekend.
This weekend.
But that guy Ballister, he won the USAM. I mean, he's a pretty big deal. He was considered like an up-and-coming star. But he's
He got to get some wins in his on the side for people to start really like following him though.
Yeah, well, I also think a lot more European dudes join Liv, and if you're this dude Ballister, he's from Spain. Think about the Sergio is probably the biggest Spanish dude now, and Rom. Those dudes are both on Liv, and you get to go join whatever their team is and be a Liv guy with probably your two golfing heroes. It kind of tracks.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
This morning on ESPN.com, they put together a story. Kirk Cousins, Trey Hendrickson, Jalen Ramsey are probably the – not probably. They are the biggest names that some think will get traded between now and week one. I think there's a pretty good chance it happens. Hendrickson's the only one that really makes sense here. And Seth Walder, who's an analytics guy for ESPN, proposed a trade. Johnny Newton, a third rounder, and a 2027 seventh rounder for Trey Hendrickson. To me, this is too rich. If you do Johnny Newton and a seventh, I can wrap my head around it. If you do a third and a seventh and maybe add something extra in there, I can wrap my head around it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Johnny Newton, a third and a seventh is
too much.
You agree, too much?
Mm-hmm.
Professor Landini, we start with you. We're going to open these phone lines up, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Hendrickson for Johnny Newton, a third and a seventh. Is that too much, Mr. Lamphill?
I kind of think so. I think that Newton's got a lot of promise. I'd rather they stick with him, keep him around.
I tend to agree with you. Now, they're different guys, right? Newton's an interior pass rusher.
Sure.
But it's also the first time he's going to be healthy in two seasons. I think – and you got him under team control for 3 years.
Yep.
I don't know if Jeff's answering phones. Jeffrey, chime in if you can.
Too much. I'm not giving up our youth. Let's just build with what we got.
Mm. All right. It's a clean sweep of too much.
We got White Brian.
White Brian?
Oh, he's a Giant fan. He don't care.
Well, he could still chime in, I suppose. White Brian, put the meth down. Answer the question.
Damn.
Make the trade.
Really? Why?
He wants to hurt the team.
You're that close to a Super Bowl. He puts you over the top.
I mean, White Brian's got a point. He's got a point, B. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think that. 800-636-1067. I believe Shane is on line one. Shane, would you make the trade?
Hey, absolutely. Yeah, hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, first of all, JP, I got to give you credit, man. I was going through the TV when I was back over in Stateside, and I was watching your TV show, All Ears, man, and that's fantastic. You do a great job on that, brother. Now I know what
they call
All Ears, by the way. Hey, but you know, you make that trade. You make that trade. Sorry, I had to throw it in there, but you make that trade. We're one player away from on that defense to get – we've not had 17 sacks in a season and forever. Number two is we're on that, and the defense needs help. Our offense is going to be legit. Let's call it what it is, but our defense still is question mark. So you definitely make that trade, and you hope you get that back in return. But yeah, 17 sacks. Now, can he get 17 sacks here? Who knows? To a place that, hell, he can get hurt as soon as he gets here, knowing the Commander's history.
That's the problem.
You got to make that trade. You got to make that trade. There's a difference between a pass rusher and an interior defensive lineman. He'll never save 17 sacks in a season. I hate to say it, but I don't see him, Newton, getting 17 sacks in the season at where he's at right now. But
the only dude that's ever
going to
do that. The only dude that's ever going to do that from the interior is Aaron Donald. There's only one of those guys
that's right.
On the planet. Chris Jones.
Right.
Chris Jones. Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the call, Shane. I do think a lot of folks believe they should. I put this on my Facebook page, and I got a ton of comments. The majority, I think, are similar to us, that it's too much. He's just got 3 years left on the deal. I would not be.
Where's 3 years left? Come on, Newton.
Newton has 3 years left on the deal. And Hendrickson is 30. But
see,
dude,
think about it.
He helps you a lot right away.
People say make the trade, okay? You gotta pay for him too now, later. He don't want a deal. The thing about it, you have to make the decision on, are you willing to pay him the dollars he's going to want? Because
it's 30.
Jay's coming up in a couple years.
It's 30 mil. It's 30 mil, and you still got to deal with Terry. That's complicating factor to me is you still got to get Terry done. Let's go to Dusty. Dusty, would you make the move?
Nah, man, it's a hard pass for me. I believe Newton is a good, solid piece, young piece. As you stated before, we still got, he's under team control for another 3 years. I don't think that would be a good deal at all.
All right. Appreciate the call, dude. I want to be clear. if you make a move for Hendrickson, I think it's a good move. The guy has led the NFL in sacks the last 2 years. He's a baller. But I don't think it's as simple as that. You've also got the Terry complication. Elijah is in D.C. Eli, what do you think? Would you make the move?
What's going on? I wouldn't make the move because for a few reasons. One, if your offense, for example, can be up 14 just for an example, and other guys, that makes other guys, that helps a defense out immensely. So also, do you want to win one Super Bowl, or do you want to keep your window open for the potential of Super Bowls for years to come? And you have to be conscious of the decisions that you make as you get better to keep the, you know, as you're reaching forward, that you don't mess up some other things financially moving forward. You have to be smart. And you got to show to your team that, hey, man, we with you. We riding with the team. We drafting our guys because we want them here and we believe that they are what we need. So if you get them, okay, yeah, you can't be upset because, yeah, you want to say, I want to swing and make a good decision. So we're going to be behind it if they made the decision. But thinking about the future, I'm not willing to mortgage the future for the potential of a guy that's 30. And what's the decline look like? We don't know. So you have to be comfortable with his high. You have to be comfortable with his average. And you have to be comfortable with his low. And sometimes people be so focused on a high, you can't. It's more years than just one, Shawty. You know, what does 33 look like? Maybe is it a situation where you can move him? Maybe not. And then we'll be like, man, we should have did this. And we should have known, man. They're thinking about when you pull this arrow, it's about how far can we get it to go? And certain decisions like that kind of take some of the wind from your arrow. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you. It's a complicated situation, man. Taking your calls, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. ESPN says Washington could offer a package of Johnny Newton, a 2026 third-round pick, and a 2027 seventh-round pick to get Trey Hendrickson. Why would this be appealing to the Bengals? It's immediate help. B, I would feel differently about this if it was Johnny Newton and a seventh. But yeah. Johnny Newton and a third is too much.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Johnny Newton, I think, can ball, man. Let's try Vince is in Akakik. Vince, you making this move?
No, and I'm not making it for the fact that if we trade for Trey, we got to pay. And Terry need his money. And honestly, we need to pay Lermy as well, especially being that Tunsil can be our next Trent Williams that we let get away. You know, Trent went to San Francisco, he's having a long career. People are playing longer. You could say the same thing for Trey, but I don't see Trey's longevity being that effective as a defensive end. But Terry is a young, about to be 30, and like I said, I think Lermy can be our next Trent Williams. So, no, I don't trade for Trey because eventually we got to pay Jaden, and that's you know, we got to figure out the book some kind of way. We got Newton on a rookie deal. Let's make it work.
That's a smart call. Thank you, Vince. Is that Vinny in Seat Pleasant on line 4? Vinny, be the GM. Are you making that deal to get Trey Hendrickson?
Hey, Mitch, JP, Landini. What's up, Aquarius?
What up, bro?
Hey,
what's up, bud?
Man, I think it's kind of too rich. You got to be, like the last call, you got to be smart about the situation. What's more prevalent to the team as far as keeping Terry around, paying Terry, or trying to bring Trey over to, you know, I guess you want to say make the defense more stout up front because that secondary is still going to be kind of, you know, shaky. I know Amos just got drafted and, you know, we got Harris at the safety and things of that nature, but I think looking at it, going after Jalen Ramsey may be a little better. It may be less costly. And for the simple fact that secondary, like I said, has still a hole inside of it. It needs to be filled. So I don't think the Newton trade for Trey with that third and that sixth is even relevant, to be honest. You got to be smart about things, fellas. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
All right, man.
Yeah, man, I don't disagree.
Do you think the Cincinnati Bengals offense has been good enough the last 2 years to be like playoff and Super Bowl ready?
I mean, 2 years ago they were in the divisional round.
But then they've been 9-8 the last 2 years.
Yeah,
and they had Joe Burrow, and they have all those receivers, and they had Trey Henderson on that team, and they were 9-8, right?
Yeah.
So I heard my man Shane earlier say, "Oh, we won play away, getting me a Super Bowl." No, you're not one play away from the Super Bowl. You need some more spots too. So, no, I wouldn't make the trade right now.
It's second and goal. End zone shot for the lead. It's McLaurin. He's got it. Washington is in front.
That was Adam Amin of Fox on the call of a big Terry McLaurin touchdown catch. What's great is I have no idea which game that would have been because he had so many end-of-game touchdowns gave Washington a lead or put them over the top. But that was Week 18 against Dallas. Marcus Mariota throwing to Terry McLaurin in Dallas to get the job done, and they come from behind victory. Career year for McLaurin, 13 touchdown catches this past season. He had four the year before that. He'd only had four twice in his career. In fact, he's mostly averaged right around five touchdown catches over the first 5 years of his career, and then exploded last year for 13. And it is now time to pay Terry McLaurin again. Danny, he was in this same situation 2 years ago, at a time where a lot of the guys in his draft class got a four-year deal. He took a three-year deal for a little over $22 million per year. But because of that, 2 years later, going into a lame duck season,
you're here again.
Now that's where you sign the extension because you don't risk a guy's contract running out and him hitting free agency. And so you basically just kicked the can down the road 2 years and said, "We'll definitely pay you, no problem." But you didn't pay him like it wasn't a forever house. You basically rented.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time, he says, "I want my yard, and I want everything I need for the next 7-8 years to get my kids through high school." Here's the story today from Jordan Schultz. I want to get your reaction to this. Jordan Schultz, who is an NFL reporter, an insider for Fox Sports, among other outlets over the years, says that Terry McLaurin has made it clear to the team that he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal. As I previously reported, McLaurin unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after initially attending, and it remains to be seen whether he's going to report for mandatory minicamp. McLaurin is entering the final year of his contract, and talks have been minimal. This sounds way more hostile than what you, me, and everyone else have assumed is going on behind the scenes.
Because both parties were very interested in each other. That's what we assumed because we had a track record there that the team basically would be, you know, I don't want to say crazy, but they would be, you know, kind of go against all the rhetoric and all the different axioms and kind of way that they've presented themselves where they're looking for that tag. They look for Washington players, right? And he's one of them. All he's ever done is the right thing. Has cut across now three different regimes, a really, really solid player, great citizen, great leader, really productive. If you don't pay him, who are you paying? If you don't pay the guy that's always done everything right, it's a future Ring of Honor player for you, maybe a jersey retirement at some point if this track kind of keeps up, who are you paying? So you kind of backed yourself into a corner that way where it's not usually good business to give a 3 or 4 year deal to a guy that's going to be 30 and, you know, in a position that's pretty important, I'd say, to be athletic and quick and have all the burst. But yet here you are. And from McLaurin's perspective, what else do I have to do, dude? Right? I mean, but it's always been here, and it just sort of felt like he was going to be here. And maybe there was an assumption, naively, that this would just all work out. There are complications with things like this.
One of the complications, I think, is the year he just had. The timing of it means he's about to get paid a lot of money. You know, had he have had 6 touchdowns instead of 13, and instead of, you know, 82 catches, it was 72, and instead of, you know, 1,100 yards, it was 998, 1005, something like that. If the production wasn't quite what it was, and specifically in the red zone, if he hadn't finally cured that evil of not being a touchdown getting wide receiver, then maybe we have a little bit different conversation, and the contract would look a little bit like the last one, where he did not break the bank. He got paid handsomely. He got rewarded for his efforts and was paid fairly, but he did not get paid at an elite level at wide receiver. And he's not going to get that now in terms of surpassing Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase, and he shouldn't get that. And I'm sure McLaurin would say the same. But Albert Breer is going to join us coming up in 30 minutes. Suggested today via his reporting that McLaurin's going to get over $30 million. I think he suggested 30 to 35 million is the window. So let's just say we're talking about 32 and a half and split the difference, or 33 million for Terry McLaurin. Then I would say this: at his age, turning 30 years old right at the start of the season, with the mileage now 6 years into his career, not having been much of an issue, but him being older than his draft class, there's a very good chance that the contract you give him is both completely necessary, well-deserved, something you should and probably need to give him as you build this culture out, but also ends up on the back end not being a very good contract. And I think both of those things can be true, and sometimes they happen. And it's up to the team to build things well enough that when McLaurin, toward the end of the contract, is maybe no longer worth, you know, the backloaded $37, $38 million figure, whatever that looks like, it doesn't end up killing you. But both are probably true. They should pay him. He's earned it more than anybody. There's no one that screams commander more than Terry McLaurin for a team that everything they do in the draft, every undrafted free agent they bring in, they tell us how he's a commander and he's got the commander tag. And if you cut him open, a commander falls out. Well, that's Terry McLaurin, man. Yep. You can't not pay this guy. But I also understand, if you're telling me Terry McLaurin at $33 million at 30 years old is probably not the best contract to sign right now, I don't think you're wrong.
I don't either. And you can't go down that adversarial road either, because there are mechanisms for every party involved. Players have maybe less levers that they can pull, but teams do. So if you can't come to terms, you've got the franchise tag at your disposal, right? Which normally you would say isn't great business, but it would make great sense here. I would rather have two more years of Terry McLaurin, just on paper. Forget about the emotional part of it, everything you just mentioned, the context.
Meaning the football player.
Yeah, the football player. Like, I think the next 2 years of Terry McLaurin are still going to be really good. I don't know about years three and four. Could be awesome. He could sort of reinvent himself as he goes. And I mean, you think of a guy like Mike Evans, who's still just as productive, despite having lost a step or two or three or whatever. But
And by the way, which should be noted, to your point, it's not like wide receivers completely fall off at 34. Mm-hmm. If you work the right way, if you put the work in, you can have some runway. And I don't think that's a concern with McLaurin. My only issue is he's not a great route runner. He's good, but he's not a technician. He's a contested catch maven. He's a speed guy. Like, those things probably translate a little bit less, maybe, in terms of the age moving forward.
Yeah, it's like a physical running back cliff, you know, but for speed guys. Now, again, there's more to his game, but I think your point is exactly right. So I'd rather, in general, this is the whole point, that this is not in general. In general, I want one less year of a guy if it means getting rid of him a year too early and not having to hold the bag. But you can't play the franchise tag game with this guy. I just, because of everything you said, because of all the water under the bridge, that's good water. Everybody's been so happy. This is the dude that you hold up to the new kid, right? To the draft pick, the undrafted free agent, to the, you know, the whoever. If you'd like to be what we want, follow 17 around. That's the guy. Do what he does. So you kind of backed yourself into this corner a little bit. I'm not faulting anybody, like they made a mistake. It's just kind of where you are. And that may not lead to good negotiation.
Do you believe this report? And I don't mean that Schultz made anything up, but sometimes your information can either be wrong, or it's very possible someone's misleading or overstating it, right? This is now the time of the year where the leverage game gets played. We've seen it with agents. We've seen it with players. The teams will do the same thing. This obviously, I don't think, came from the team. The only reason you would put this out as a team is if you're trying to, like, make the player look bad and kind of win over the fans and the court of public opinion. And the Commanders are not doing that with their guy, Terry McLaurin.
Right.
This, to me, feels more like the agent when you say he's frustrated with the lack of progress on a long-term deal. You know, he left voluntary workouts after initially attending. Hey, he did show up. We talked, but the progress wasn't happening, so he left. He's entering the last year of his deal. Talks have been minimal. There's no benefit to the team really getting that out there. Mm-hmm. This feels more like the agent side to me, talking to Jordan Schultz. But I don't think any of us thought there was a whole lot of animus or acrimony between the two sides. This report is pretty salacious in that way. It makes it seem like, not like Terry's waiting on a contract, the team's going to give it to him. Last time this happened at the end of June into start of July, right before the 4th of July holiday. It'll probably happen again then soon. This is inevitable. Like, all along, I felt like I'm not wasting 1 ounce of energy worrying about a McLaurin extension. And I still think I feel that way even after this report. But this is very different than that.
Yeah. So remember when Darren Pang said one trick pony about Ovechkin? And the whole point was, or one of the points was, there's no way to take that as anything other than a dig. Even if it didn't mean it as a dig. It sounds derisive. It sounds like you're not very complimentary of a guy. There's no way to take unexpectedly left voluntary workouts as anything, almost anything other than he was there, everything was fine until it wasn't. That's the way this sounds. And that's what I needed to know. My curiosity isn't necessarily about whether a contract gets done or not. I still think there's time and that, you know, everybody's doing the best they can to get the best deal, both for the organization or the best deal for McLaurin and his camp. I need to know, did he leave in a huff? Did he leave a meeting? Was he begging someone to talk to him and got so mad that he just stormed out, leaving, I don't know, like unsigned footballs for charity behind? Like, what happened? That's the part that I care about now. When you say unexpectedly left voluntary workouts after attending, meaning it was going great until it wasn't, that's what I need to know about. How significant is that?
Yeah. Showing up to stay, and mm-hmm. then he left. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Alton is in Richmond. Does this report worry you at all, or are you still of the belief, like most of us, that inevitably they'll get this thing worked out without any drama?
No, Grand Danny, how y'all?
What's up,
buddy? Yeah, I don't think that it's a problem with what's coming out or whatever, but I do blame Adam Peterson to a point, because this man had double digit touchdowns before, you know, when they was in the playoffs or whatever. Right then and there, right after that Detroit game, you should have sat that man down and signed something. Like the guy said earlier last week, what are you waiting for to sign him? You have nobody else. So if you don't sign him, I mean, what are you waiting for? You keep saying, well, yes, we working on getting a deal with Turd done. You keep picking that to the media. But what do that make you sound like? That make you sound like the regime that was here a couple years ago. If you're trying to build character and stuff in locker room, you can't build character doing that.
But you got to get good deals, right? And so I understand that the negotiation plays out, and we're not at the point of the calendar yet where anything's been botched. When Allen got paid, it was closer to training camp. McLaurin, 2 years ago, same situation. There was no hostility, supposedly. We didn't get a report like this, but he didn't come to this voluntary stuff then either, and I had no problem with it then. I've got no problem with it now. It'll be really interesting if he skips the mandatory workouts coming up. I think that'll be our first tell as to whether or not there's actually a little bit mm-hmm. more hostility. I've got to go back and see if he skipped the mandatory stuff last time, but that would be interesting to me. But he's such a zero-drama guy. It would be a way more notable story and way more newsworthy if we found out that he and the team are at odds. Because you almost give him the benefit of the doubt as a guy that just never stirs the pot.
Right.
There's never drama. He's the anti-TNT. They know drama. Terry McLaurin knows nothing about it. He is the alter ego to Johnny from Entourage, right? I mean, this guy, where do you want me to be when? I'll be there a minute early. We had him on the show all year 1 year. We had a standing appointment at 4 o'clock. He's on the phone at 3:59. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, every time.
Conscientious, professional.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.